Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're delighted to welcome in Michael Reinsdorf, the Chief Operating Officer and President of the Chicago Bulls. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Michael. How are you? Good
morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I'm curious. Are you, I don't know what happens now tonight. Do you have a sleepless night? Are you nervous? Do you get sleepless. Worked up? I mean, it's very exciting. It's an exciting time.
I have a lot of sleepless nights. It seems like it's taking forever to get to the 14th, and we're almost there. So it will probably be a difficult night, especially given the fact that you really don't control anything. So it is what it is at the end of the day.
So, Michael, last year you wore your red bedazzled shoes. They weren't so lucky. What are you wearing tomorrow night? And how will you take part in tomorrow night's draft lottery?
Well, last year I was on the stage. This year I'm not doing that again. Horace Grant's going to represent us. Horace had a great career with the Bulls. He was part of the first three championships, and he's now part of our organization. So hopefully Horace will bring us some luck. But the truth is, by the time that you're on stage, the pick has already been chosen. It really happens behind the scenes in a room, I think like an hour and a half before the actual televised event on TV.
Yeah, I was joking with Casey Johnson. He's going to be back there watching it, that they ought to put the list up before they pick the ping pong balls. That's a long-standing joke that lottery's
fixed. Well, there's so many combinations. I don't know. They would have to wallpaper the entire room because, each team. there's a lot of numbers. And I think the first, I don't know if there's eight or nine numbers, but my son told me that the first, because my son Joey was in the room last year, and he said, there was a combination where we had the first three or four numbers, and he thought we might have a chance, and then obviously they picked some different numbers. So it's weird. You're in that room, and you're locked in there, so you find out where you're at, and you can't leave that room until after the lottery is televised.
So, Michael, from a fan perspective, everybody's looking at this as a Zion Williamson draft, and the draft lottery, whoever gets number one is going to be likely to take Zion. Whoever gets number two, if it's the Bulls, John Morant. After that, there's a little less excitement. Do you find yourself having to not get into the mode of all or nothing and look at it that way because of the likelihood and the high percentage that you guys won't end up with the first or second pick?
Right, because we actually have a 52% chance that we'll move back from four. So it's more likely that we end up at five than we do moving up. But I don't want to get too involved in how deep the draft is, because, one, I'm not person making those decisions. That's what we have John Paxson and Gar Foreman and Brian Hagan and Duke, our scouts. They're the ones that are ultimately make those decisions. But in past years, you've always heard, it's only a two-person draft. I remember the year that we drafted Derrick Rose. It was a two-person draft. It was Derrick Rose and Michael Beasley. And,
right.
And if you go back in history and look at it, there's a few other players that were taken after that, like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love. And so apparently it wasn't a two-person draft. So I don't get too worked up over it. I think that no matter where we end up in the draft, I would expect that we'd get a quality player.
Since last we talked to you, obviously you got a contract extension with Jim Boylan, and John Paxson said at the end of the year that that he had broached the subject, but you guys hadn't gotten there yet. What changed, and how good do you feel about Jim Boylan moving forward?
I don't think anything changed. I think we knew towards the end of the season that Jim was the right person for us. We had enough experience with him. And so it was just a matter of getting the contract done. But I'm happy with Jim. I feel like he puts 100% effort behind the coaching. I think he has worked his way up to the role that he's playing right now as coach of the Chicago Bulls. He's had almost every job there is in coaching, whether it's through college or the NBA. So he cares a lot, and he's got a plan, and he also recognizes that he doesn't always have all the answers. That's why I really respect the fact that he spends time with other coaches. He last summer, I know he went out and met with Phil Jackson for a couple of days. He's already met with some other NBA coaches this year. Doug Collins, who's in our organization, and I don't know what – I always forget what Doug's exact title is, but he's he's not a coaching consultant, but I referred to him as a coaching consultant, and everyone started reporting on that. But Doug is part of our organization to help coaching staff, and also help the John Paxson and Gar and everyone upstairs. And Doug has been in basketball for since the early 70s, and so he's seen it all. And he spends a lot of time with Jim talking about coaching and looking at different situations that have come up, and Jim has really taken to Doug, and they spent a lot of time together. And when I have a guy like Doug Collins say, hey, this Jim really gets it, and he's the right person, it makes me feel really good, because obviously that's how we feel, that's how John Paxson feels and Gar Foreman. But when you have someone like Doug who's actually coached in the game for a lot of years, that means a lot to me.
Michael, I think you'd acknowledge that there's a considerable gap between where the front office and management and ownership feel about Jim Boylan, maybe where the fan base is, and that's understandable given the Bulls' record last year. And I think that you have taken steps to address that. I was fascinated by Casey Johnson's story in the Tribune on Sunday, just on what you have done to try to maybe bridge that gap or address some of those concerns. You've invited season ticket holders, or you've had interactions with season ticket holders and had lunch with them to hear them out and to maybe, make them feel better about the direction of the team. What prompted that, and how would you describe that difference in sort of interpretation of where the Bulls are based on where the fans think they are and what you guys do?
Well, yeah, that'd be great. We have a big suite, and I couldn't get anyone to come to the games anymore, so I figured I might as well invite some fans to the games that wanted to watch with me. But in all seriousness, I see things when you're with the team every day and you're behind the team, you see things that other people don't see. And so our fans, they don't have any choice but to listen to what is being reported, whether it's on sports radio, whether it's in the newspaper. That's kind of their take. That's their information. So what I've tried to do is I've tried to reach out to different fans and connect with them and have them see firsthand what Jim is all about. But more importantly, through this process, what I realize is that there's a lot of season ticket holders, a lot of fans who've been coming to games for a lot of years, 40, 45, 50 years. And I've never really spent a lot of time with them. I've never really connected with a lot of with our season ticket holders. And I realized that it probably wasn't the right approach. And I just decided I was going to try to have more one-on-one conversations. And it kind of started when I started receiving a lot of emails this year. Up until this year, I didn't really get a lot of emails. But I started getting a lot of emails, and I started talking to our ticket sales people, and they were sharing with me a lot of kind of the information and the letters and phone calls they were getting. And so I just said, why don't you just share it with me? I think they were kind of holding back. And so once I started getting into it, I started making calls and talking to different people, and it was so much easier to communicate the message. When you're having a one-on-one conversation, there's a lot you can talk about, and they can ask questions and they can be heard. And ultimately, that's what I wanted to have happen. I wanted our fans to be able to, our season ticket holders, I wanted them to have their voice heard. And they asked me a lot of questions. I was able to give them some frank answers. And I think that was kind of the start of the process. And then eventually what happened is we're talking to them, to different people, and, they're coming to games, we invite them up to the suite to talk and kind of hang out. And it was just really just to get to know us as an organization, and hopefully they could see that we care as much as they do. And that's the one thing that I noticed when I'm watching games, when we're watching games with a lot of the fans. They care And then they're so invested. And it's actually fun to watch these games with them. But there were a couple fans when we were watching where, you know, we were playing Philadelphia. It was a really close. Hold on. It was a really close game, and one of the fans turns to me and she says, "You know, we'd be better off losing this game." And I just looked at her. I said, "No." I said, "This is a game you want to win." It was a close game. We're playing Philadelphia, and that was the game that Zach came scored the game-winning basket when he took the a couple seconds left. He drove to the basket and laid it in. And I just said, "Those are the type of games you got to win because it's about growing as a team, and you don't want to get used to losing. You want to." In those situations, you want to win those games. So I kind of explained it to her, and she understood. And so that's kind of where we are with our fans. We just don't want people to think that it's all about the finances for the Chicago Bulls. We appreciate the fact that we do fill that arena up every game, and that they've been supporting us for so long.
He's Michael Reinsdorf, the chief operating officer and president of the Bulls. And you know, Michael, we get tons of texts and calls during the season about John Paxson and Gar Forman. Can you tell us why you have your trust in them and why you believe that they're going to get this done?
I look at the total picture and I look at the circumstances, and I just believe that they're the right people for this job. You can't control injuries, and I really do believe that if you factor in the Derrick Rose injury, we've built championship caliber teams. They've built championship caliber team. That team that was competing with Miami in the at the beginning of the decade, that we had the best record in the league 2 years in a row. And I'm not saying we would have won championships, but we certainly would have competed. We had the best record in the league 2 years in a row, and we drafted Jimmy Butler. I look at the drafts that we've had, and whether it's drafting, Mirotić at 22 and Taj Gibson and, Joakim Noah at 9. And I just think that they've done a really good job. I analyze the draft record and I compare it to what other teams have done. And I've talked to other people. I talked to other GMs in the league, other former GMs. And I ask them what they think, and I haven't found anyone to tell me that they think we're doing it wrong. I know this rebuild is painful, and it's really painful for me. Between the White Sox and Bulls, that's a lot of losses. Last year we lost 60 games to the Bulls, and the White Sox lost 100 games. If anyone thinks that myself or my dad enjoy this, we don't. It's tough. Financially, it probably was worse for us to go through a rebuild. I do think it's the right thing, and I do look at where we are in this rebuild, and we're basically finished two full years now, and I look at our starting rotation next year, our starting five, and between Porter, Wendell Carter, Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and then Chris, and everyone, John's talked about his thoughts on Chris Dunn, but I feel like we have a great opportunity with this year's draft to, add another player. And I don't think it's unreasonable to think that we can jump from where we are this year to a much better record. I mean, we only won 9 home games. I mean, that's unheard of, really, in this league. There's not too many teams that only win 9 home games. So typically, even if you're, not a great team, you're going to win half of your home games. So if you just win half your home games next year, that's an 11-game jump. So I really think that, we're set up, and, time's going to tell. I don't claim that next year we're going to be a championship caliber team, but I think you're going to see the next step next year in a big jump. And part of the fun and excitement of basketball or sports is when you're, climbing up that mountain. So, obviously we've been at the bottom of that mountain the last couple of years, but I think we're going to be climbing up it pretty nicely next year.
Before we let you go, Michael, and appreciate your time. So how would you describe the sense of urgency? The NBA is an impatient league, and the Bulls continue to be patient with the front office and with the way things are going, but we throw around the word urgency a lot. How would you describe it there?
Well, I think we live in a world, a society today, that everyone's urgent. There's no patience. Our attention spans are short now because of cell phones and everything else. it's not about, to me, it's not about being patient. It's just about just kind of doing, taking the right steps. It's not panicking, and it's about, you know, you have a plan and sticking to your plan. To me, that's more important. I think when you've seen rebuilds fail is when teams start to panic and they don't follow the plan. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow this plan through. We have some cap space this year to spend on players. I do think we need to add to our depth, and I think we'll do that. And I'm excited.
Michael, thanks a ton. Really appreciate your time. And here's hoping. I mean, boy, let's hope for a lucky bounce of the ping pong ball.
Thanks, Mike. Enjoy tomorrow.
I don't think it's a bounce. I think they just play,
float.
Ping pong balls are blow. They're floating in the air and they just pop right out.
It's so all for show.
Let's cross our fingers.
Enjoy
so
the show.
All righty. God bless. Yeah, Take care.
Take care, Mike.
That's Michael Reinsdorf. Fantastic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.